we all desire your prayers. We went to the Sing in Myrtle last night, and I was considering the service this morning, and I went to bed feeling fairly confident of what the Lord had given me for the service there. But when I got up, it seemed like things had changed, and so I started looking to the Lord again for what the Lord wanted me to have, and He gave me this message. But then He switched the burdens, and I preached the message I had to start with. And of course, I was curious about that working of the Lord, and it came to my mind at the time. Well, you may be going to Neosho tonight. Then my wife ended up mentioning it. Scripture says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So I got my second one. And then the Lord seemed to go further than that and give me another one. I'd like to look. I said all that to say this. I think what I have tonight is for you. So if you'll join in my faith, I believe the Lord has something for us tonight. I'd like to start with the scripture in the 31st Psalm. In the 12th verse, just want to do point our minds to this one verse for a little bit. It says, "I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel." I appreciate very much God's love. I count on it. I depend on it. I believe that God really loves us. I think God really loves me. But I want to tell you, I haven't drawn that conclusion because everything's been right in my life. Because it hasn't. I'm not drawing that conclusion because it's always sun shining around my head. Because it don't. But I'm drawing that conclusion because I see God always working. God is always trying to do something for me. He's always willing to speak to me. He's always willing to impress me with what I need or to work with me. And sometimes the testimonies that I have is that today didn't go just right or the way I wanted it to go. But God loves me in all of that. And God's working through all of that. I'm very thankful for that tonight. And I want this message to be a testament to that. That God loves us. No matter what, God loves us. The writer of this, David, says, "I'm like a dead man, out of mind." Now, I know God didn't forget about him. He wasn't talking about what God thought about him. At all. He was talking about what men thought about him. And then he said, "I'm like a broken vessel." Now think about it as time goes on, we happen to have quite a strong lineage of faith, and the faithful people, especially the ministers of the church over the time has been renamed and renamed. But it isn't as much as it used to be. And the time will come till there's nobody alive that remembers some of these older ministers. And there'll be a time, as time goes on, the dead men, at first there's tears over the death of loved ones, but in time, it's a name. Then after a while, it's a stone with a name on it that somebody comes up and reads it and says, Who was that? That's about all that's left is an engraving on a stone. A stone because it's enduring and it's the last of it and nobody really remembers the life at all. David is a live man, but he's talking about a way he feels. He feels like that he's like a dead man. And all the deeds of his life is like a dead man that's been gone for a long time because it's been forgotten. And he says, I'm not a broken vessel. I'm like a broken vessel. I'm like a broken vessel. Now, if you think about that a little bit, we had an egg poacher at home. And my wife was using it, and she got to looking, and the water, there was no water in it. The water had all come out of the bottom. There was a hole in it. So she gives it to me and says, well, it's a real thin pan. I looked at it and said, throw it away. I don't know how to fix that hole in that. I guess if you was good at brazing or something, you might have tried it, but it was real thin. My conclusion was, it's a broken vessel. You know what it's good for? It's throwing the trash. I don't know what to do with it. Give it to children, let them play with it till they get tired of it. And then it'd just be cluttering the way, throw it away then. But it don't have much left in it. It's a broken vessel. You imagine coming along and being wanting to find something that holds water. You're going to go get you a vessel of water, a clay vessel. You're going to get some water in it. And you look around for one, and you look, and here's one laying there, and you look, and there's a big old hole in the side of it. Or a big crack down it. You look at it, and you disregard it. And there's no reason to use it. It's worthless. It's worthless. You go find something that would do the job. Have you ever felt like a broken vessel? Have you ever felt like that you're useless? Or do you ever feel like that the people around you have forgotten? Or the people around you dismiss who you are? Or what you're capable of doing? Now, think further about this. The psalmist, David, he wasn't just a man among men in their nation. He was someone that was known. He was someone that came to prominence. He was someone that God blessed. He was a young lad. And the Lord called upon him. Do you remember that? He called upon him. As a young lad who had been faithful, he come up and had a job to do. And he performed it and God blessed him and he killed the giant. And he was a hero at a very young age. He was a hero. He was a vessel. He wasn't broken. People looked at him and said, Saul's killed his thousands. And David's killed his 10,000s. He was a vessel to use and to people to look at and say, he's capable, he's able, he's got something to offer us. There's things in his life. And now he's at a place in his life that people are discarding him. You think that David, see, we look at David and said, oh, David, he must have been, people must have loved him his whole life through. Not hardly. He had many enemies, many people that he had fought for turned against him. He became like a broken vessel, something that had no value to it, something that they disregarded. This man, David. Who wants to hear about David? He's outlived his worth. He's worthless. He's outlived his usefulness. You ever been there? You ever felt like? I'm talking about feelings, but have you ever felt like that you've been disregarded? You ever felt like that there's nobody really pays any attention? That if they go to get somebody to do something, it won't be you. Because you can't do it. You have no value to you. I'm going to tell you, you're valuable tonight. You are valuable to God. When you feel like a useless vessel, you're not a useless vessel. You're not a broken vessel. I'm like a broken vessel and I can't do anything. And you know, there's never a place. Young people, listen to me. You're not too young. You're not too young to be a servant of the Lord. If you're old enough to understand, you're old enough to be a servant of the Lord and valuable, very valuable in His sight. He loves you and you're not a broken vessel. People can look at young people as a broken vessel. You can go by young people because they're not capable or not, they're not able, and you can walk by them. But the Lord chose David at a young age. He's the one that took down the giant. Why? Because he was young? No. Because he was faithful. Because he had the Spirit of the Lord with him. And he had it at a young age, and you can have it too. Don't allow, Paul told Timothy, don't allow them to despise your youth. Don't give them reasons, in other words. Don't allow them to despise your youth. Show the faithfulness of God. You're young and they're going to say, you're a broken vessel. But don't allow them to say it. Be faithful and let God work through your life and God will make something of it. You know, you can get too old. People get old sometimes and they feel like they're a broken vessel. They've been disregarded. Their usefulness has run out. Brother Dale Doolittle, notice we have his namesake back here, but Brother Dale got into the place that he told me one night. You remember, remember how he was crunched over, how the disease had pulled on him and his muscles were tight and he sat with his head like that. And to my mind, he lived, the last of his life seemed so horrible of the body. And he said to me, he was talking about going home and on. He said, I don't understand, Brother Marty, why the Lord don't just take me out of here. He said, I'm totally useless. I can't do anything for the Lord anymore. I can't do anything for anybody anymore. I'm sitting here completely worthless and useless, he said to me. I said, oh, Brother Dale. I said, people that talk a lot like me, we get up and talk from the behind the pulpit, and we say a lot of things from behind the pulpit, and for everything that I try to say, you're doing it. You're saying it louder than I ever can preach it, no matter how emotional I get, no matter how I try to do it, you say more with your life than I can ever express with words. I said, you're not doing anything, and these hospice workers are coming in here, and they're amazed at a man that can have grace in your situation. You've tried, they thought you was going to be dead so many times, and you kept getting out, the Lord kept raising you up and raising you up. He said, I'm like a broken vessel. He didn't say these words, but what he was saying is, I'm like a broken vessel. I feel like one. I can't accomplish or do anything. But I said this was a testament to God's love because God loved him and was faithful to his soul and was faithful to his life. He wasn't a broken vessel. We can feel like sometimes that we're a broken vessel. But God loves and cares for us, and we should never allow that. You can feel like sometimes that the faults and failures of the past are too much. And it makes you to that you can never overcome it. Well, if you project that onto what people may think, who knows? Honestly, you know what I'm talking about. But what does God think about it? Do you remember the scripture where there was a man that was blind, and there was a great crowd, and Jesus was coming by. The blind man said, what's the commotion? It's Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And the man said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he hollered louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And what did they say to him? Why do you make such a kado? Why do you make such a motion? And why are you making such a fuss? He's not got time for you. You're a broken vessel. You're useless. What can you do for his kingdom? What can you do for his kingdom? This kingdom needs to be a strong kingdom and have people that can see. And strong people, weak people don't need to be a part of this kingdom. You wanted somebody to work for you, who would you get? Who would you get? Capable people. People that can see, strong people. People that can yield swords if you're going to fight. People that add tools if you're going to work. People that's capable. That's the way I do it. You're useless. You're a broken vessel. But he said that that statement, be quiet. They urged him to be quiet. And he said he yelled the louder. He yelled the louder. He could have been saying, I'm a broken vessel, Lord. Lord, I'm a broken vessel. I feel like one. I'm like one. I can't see. And what did the Lord do? He came, didn't he? Oh, I'm going to tell you, he loves broken vessels. He came. Folks, he came for that. He came for the weak. He came for the ones with trouble. The ones that can acknowledge and say, you know, I thank God. I think the salvation of God is a powerful salvation. I'm thankful for what it's done in my life. And yet, there is an irony in it in my mind because at the same time, it's delivered and worked and blessed and all that. But I still feel the human weakness of being a broken vessel. I still see within me the inability or unableness to be able to perform or do anything without Him. I'm leaning totally upon Him. Because I forever feel like a broken vessel. I need the Lord. And He loves that. He's drawn to it. That blind man saying, have mercy on me, drew the heart of God to him. The Lord didn't move out of His path for the strong, the mighty, but He did for the broken. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, He will never despise. Look with me over at a scripture in 7th chapter of Luke. The 36th verse says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. No. He knew exactly who she was. He knew exactly what she was. She was like a broken vessel. Disregarded of the Pharisees as useless. Who would have ever went and got a woman like this to do a job for them? Whoever would have chosen her to be in any kind of a place to do anything? She must have felt that in her life, don't you think? You ever think she felt disregarded? You ever think she felt cast out? Jesus didn't shun her. Oh, if he was a prophet, he would know what manner of woman she was. Well, he knew what manner of woman she was. She was a broken vessel. It's what his heart cried for. It's what he came to this world for. He came for those that were broken. He came for those that was like this woman was, that had been eaten up with life and sin and those things, that understood the great need of her soul. The one that had been disregarded and life had got down to it, no doubt was useless, worthless. She had nothing on it to offer or to do, but what she had, she brought. So I don't know where she got the valuable thing that she had, but she could have been somewhat better off in this world for having it, but she brought it because there was something crying out more in her than what riches or anything could have bought or paid for. She came to the Lord because she had hope that there would be something for her soul in it. She was not disappointed. She came because of it. Something inside her moved her to do it. She was a broken vessel and it needed help. She, in a way, was just like the blind man. He needed something, help from the Lord. This woman needed help from the Lord. She was broken. Those that are around her scorned her, no doubt. You can't touch something like that. You can't reach out to that, folks. If we're going to work for the Lord, we're going to have to have a different mindset than that. It's the broken vessels. We gravitate a lot of times. If we're going to witness to anyone, we just seem like we're prone to be stop at a rest area somewhere, and we'll look across, and here'll be somebody that looks just like a saint, and we'll say, "Well, here's my opportunity to witness for the Lord." Well, I ain't saying you can read their heart, but if they're living what they're saying, they're a saint. I mean, you might have a little fellowship together, but why do you have a desire to witness? I know that's the way it is. But you know who the Lord came for? The broken vessels. We have a world full of broken vessels. We have people out there that are alcoholics. What do we think of them? Broken. Broken vessels, destroyed their homes, tried to make home, their families, they wrote those kind of things. They're broken vessels. Except for one thing. He still loves them. He still died for them. I think of all the drug use and abuse out there in the world, and we look at, and we'll shun that in our own lives because we have a sense of the nastiness and the filthiness of it and those kind of things. And well, it should be that we feel that way, but not towards that person. Oh, if we could only get them to understand there's one, not me. I don't fix broken vessels. I throw them away. But there's one that fixes broken vessels. Now, I like to tell this story, and I know most of you have heard it before, but I just was touched by it when my oldest daughter was a little girl. She had a balloon and it popped on her. And when her mother was trying to console her about it, she said, "Oh, it's all right, Mommy. Daddy will fix it when he comes home." And, you know, that really stopped. When I come home and she told me that, I felt challenged because, you know, she trusted me. And so I started thinking, how do you fix a balloon? Now, I mean, I was fairly good at fixing little wind-up toys. I'd take them out and redo the springs, or I'd do little things to get the toys going again, put a rubber band or something, that she thought that I was really good at doing that. And so I started thinking, how are you going to fix a balloon? Well, you can't tape one. I don't think you can tape a balloon. That won't work. You can't put a rubber band around it and get it to hold air. Super glue wouldn't stretch. That couldn't work. Baling wire won't do it. I mean, everything that I had on hand to think about trying to fix a balloon won't fix a balloon. And I had to come, I run into my limits. I can't fix a broken balloon. And I can't fix your life. And I can't fix the life of those out there. But I want to tell you something. I know who can. He can fix the broken lives. He can fix the broken balloons. He can fix the broken vessels. He said over there in the 61st of Isaiah, he said about the brokenhearted. Let open the prison doors to those that are bound. He fixes the broken hearts. He takes care of them. I mean, he's able to do that. He doesn't shun them. And he doesn't want these people shunning them too. Lord, help us in our pursuit in life. We ought to have mercy and consider, you know who is really the best candidate for salvation? It isn't somebody that walks around righteous. It's the broken vessels. You say, "Well, I know people, they're just so far out there." That's it. That's it. That's the one. That's the one that the Lord's looking for. That's the one that His heart goes out for to realize, to think of this and realize they need help. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he, Jesus, said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Now it sounded to me like that Simon was just a little bit unsure about his answer. The mathematics work out, of course, the thing that you would suppose, as Simon said, well, I suppose that if it works out the way that you think it would, that the one that was forgiven most will love most. How broken were you? So it ain't really about what you've done. It's not really about how far you went. It's really about how much you realize you needed the Lord. It's really about how precious He is to you. That's really how much you love. See, it's obvious that the more you need Him, the more love Him, the more precious He becomes. Our realization of how much we need the Lord. Do you feel like a broken vessel? Because I do. A lot of my life I feel like a broken vessel. If it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be in a shape. If it wasn't for the Lord's mercy on my life, it's hard to tell where I'd have went and what I'd have done and where I'd be in life. If I wouldn't be dead, I could have been in jail. All, imagine what you will. It's hard to say what it was. Who loves him the most, he said? He said, him that forgave most. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered in unto thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is given, forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Lord, help us to remember that we owe a lot to the Lord. We owe Him everything. And there's nothing that He don't want to do for us. When you feel the most broken is really when you're in the best place. When you feel the greatest sense of need for the Lord, that's when He's the most precious. David was young. And the Lord used him. And Abraham was old. And the Lord used him. Abraham says to the Lord, follow my language, a son, seed, Lord, I'm a broken vessel. I'm way beyond my years. That didn't matter to the Lord. The Lord needs your vessel. He don't need your intelligence. He don't need your might, your strength. He just needs your permission to use His vessel. He can do the rest of it. Abraham was too old to have a child. Sarah was beyond the years, and Abraham says, Lord, we're beyond the years. Abraham, I'm a broken vessel. Abraham, I'm God. Those things don't matter to me. David says, but I'm a young lad. He didn't say it, but others said it for him. You can't go, David. You're a broken vessel. You're too weak. He's a warrior from his youth. And you're just a youth. And he's a warrior from his youth. You have no chance at all at it. He didn't need a mighty man. And he didn't need a good sling thrower, a rock thrower. He needed a vessel. He needed a contrite vessel. He needed one that would depend on God. Folks, it's all we've got. You can't offer your vessel of something mighty and expect God to use it anyway. So God can use you. You are somebody God can use in the surroundings around you. In your life, God can use you. It doesn't matter where you're at. God has always seemed like he strives on the impossible in our lives. He wants to show himself. And so he takes those things. Back in July at our camp meeting, we got news that Sister Karen LaCroix was about 72 hours from death. Anybody remember that? She's not dead. As a matter of fact, we talked to the family on our way down here the day before last, and she's actually able to get up on the couch now. All of her sores are gone. She's able to get up, and things have gotten much better. He don't need our strength. He needs our vessel. He needs our surrender over to Him. He's my God. He's able to take care of the things of our life. He's able to do it when we feel broken and contrite. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we shrink from it. I shrink from it. We'll shrink from that place, but that place many times is the place that God wants to bring all of us to, that we realize that we're nothing before God. We're nothing. We've not any capabilities. But we are a broken vessel. And if you look through those that the Lord paid attention to, it was the broken. What did the Lord need from the little boy with the basket? He just surrender. What are you going to do, the disciples said, with a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread? What are you going to do with that? Tell them to sit down. What was there, 5,000 in one account? What are you going to do with this little amount? It makes no difference. All he needed was the fish and bread. All he needed was the little bit. He didn't need the great things, the big things. All he needed was the little. And I understand how David felt when the people had rejected him. But oh, David, lift your head up. God didn't do it. He felt like he was a vessel because the people, his own people, and when he had been way up there, and he had been, oh, you know how it is. Probably all of us has been there at those high places where God has blessed and anointed our lives, and it's shined out, and we've seen it, and people said, oh, the Lord is blessed. And then other things happened, like in Job's case. Job didn't do anything, and along comes the troubles and all that, and what did Job say? Job was just a vessel. He was just a vessel. Good things come. Should we not get good things at the hand of the Lord? And not accept evil? Oh, naked I came into the world and naked I shall leave. Just a vessel. Just a vessel. Lord, use my life from the beginning to the end. Just a vessel. All God needs is us to give Him our vessel. But I understand David's thought because I've been to those kind of places too. It seems like sometimes I live such a contradiction in my life. If I could explain this. There's times it seems like the Lord puts a great honor on me because I'm a minister and I travel around and it seems like there's such an honor on me. And then there's places that I can go that it seems like I'm so despised. of people. Not because I do anything, but because of who I am. People look at me with such disdain. I feel like I'm rejected and no one would ever pick this. I mean, if you're going to pick everybody, he'd be the last guy that you want to have a meal with. I mean, get this guy. It just seems like I seem so rejected. But there was another one that gave us an example. And he said when he was 12 years old, I must be about my father's business. I was given a vessel of flesh. I was given a vessel to give to God. And he lived for God. And do you know what he did with that vessel? They spit on him. Now, you're not talking about me. If somebody was to spit on me at somewhere in my life, I'd deserve that. I ain't saying I wouldn't. If somebody put stripes on me, I always said about the spankings and stuff, for every one I got, I should have had three. I mean, I got by with stuff. I mean, that's just true. But Jesus didn't. He didn't do any of that. And all he done was guilty of was going around having compassion on people and helping them and casting out devils and making their lives better. And he healed people that their lives would be better. He gave strength to their legs that they could walk again. The dumb could hear or speak. The deaf could hear. The blind could see. He enabled people. He blessed people. And for that, he was like a broken vessel. They rejected him. They despised him. Well, how does it say? He was like the offscouring. Nobody would want this man. How could they possibly feel that way? And yet, as children of the same Father, we accept the same ridicule. The persecution falls on us. If they hated me, your Lord and Master, will they not hate you? He was despised and rejected of men. And he allowed that brokenness, and he must have felt it. Don't you think he felt it? I'm like a broken vessel that's discarded and not cared for and wants to be destroyed, to throw it away. And he said of himself, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. Unless the process goes through, he knew that there would be no you and I in the plan of salvation. But his vessel was broken. And he was rejected. You wouldn't want this man coming to your house and eating. You wouldn't want this man in your life. You wouldn't want to befriend this man. Even to the point that Peter denied him. Talk about a broken vessel. The very ones that declared their love eternally to him. They rejected him too. As a broken vessel. But out of that broken vessel came the glory of God. Out of that brokenness came our salvation. You know, I wonder if maybe we would be more willing to be the broken vessel or that corn of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. If we would be maybe more willing to do it, if there would be maybe more not abiding alone. Maybe there would be more. We look at it and say, well, you've got to offer, as the world does, the entertainment to get them in. You have to offer a preaching that justifies them in their lives to make them feel better. You have to offer them things. If you serve God, you'll be rich in this world. You have to offer them something. But you know what the gospel was founded on? It wasn't founded on any of that. It was founded on an old cruel cross. It was founded on something that was real and dynamic and worked in people's lives. It was founded on a broken vessel. And what does he offer us? To
be broken. The vessel's broken. But there's life in the Spirit. That's what he offered. And you know that Christianity was built on the brokenness and the suffering? And when they tried to stamp it out, they tried to do it by persecution. And for every one they persecuted, 10 would rise up in their stead because there was something real about it. Something that was graceful. Something that gave people power to go through things and do things and have the love of God burning in their hearts. And they didn't retaliate. They didn't come back. They didn't fight. But they had the glory of God and they shone in their faces. And it brought people to it, and it was done because there was a vessel broken. Oh, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to me because I like all flesh, like easy comfort, life. I like it. But the broken vessel hung on a cross. And he allowed, folks. They may have thought they had the upper hand. But as Jesus told Pilate, you can do nothing unless it was with my Father. You have no power at all unless it was given of my Father. And so when he was there and he laid his hands out, and those nails was driving there. Maybe there was a big old 240-pound guy down on his arm. But that's not what held him there. Oh, and those spikes drove in. That wasn't what held him there. Do you know he was a willing, broken vessel? He was a broken vessel. He gave himself for them to look at him and scorn him and said, "You saved others. You saved others, and you can't save yourself." Oh, but how wrong. Folks, standing there, to me, it was a testament. Every time I see the depiction of that cross and those two crosses to each side, I think of choice because I think it's what it represented. Two men in the day of salvation, right there, where it happened. God allowed that to be that way. Two thieves. The analogy goes much farther than that because Jesus was on the cross for Barabbas. He died. The vessel was broken for Barabbas. Barabbas was the guilty one, not the Lord. You're the guilty one, not the Lord. I'm the guilty one, not the Lord. And on there it depicted there was two men on both sides of the Lord. There was one man on both sides. And one of them scorned him. And the other one says, in defense of him, says, "Come on, I'll give my own language. Come on. Me and you, we're thieves. And we're robbers and we're murderers. And we deserve to hang here. But this man's done nothing." And he looked at him and said, "Lord, remember me." His vessel broke. There was a time that he recognized his place. Oh, Lord, help us. Right there is what you and I face all the time. You can be one or you can be the other. You can be the one that says no, scorns the opportunity that was right there. You know how easy it would have been. Here was a man. Think of this. Facing eternity. And did not grasp the opportunity to be saved. What do you have to lose? But it is like all humanity. And the other one facing eternity. And looking at the obvious evidence and the witness of God in his life. Said, "I'm a thief and I'm a murderer and this man's not. And there's something here. And Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." You know, that was enough. That was enough. That amount of brokenness was enough. The Lord said, "This day will that be with me in paradise." Lord, help us to always remember in actuality, we're all broken vessels. It's by the grace of God that we're not. It's by the grace of God that we're functional and not dysfunctional. It's by the grace of God that we can hold anything in our lives worth anything. And to those, to the world around us, I don't want to shun the broken vessels. Because that's what I was. It's only by the grace of God that any of us are what, that we can say there's anything in us at all. I appreciate the love of God. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you. God loves you. In any sense of brokenness that you feel in your life, don't allow the devil to run you down, and because God loves you. You pray for me.